chapter number 17. Luke chapter number 17. I pray that God will just help us here this morning, that we'll worship and let God speak to our hearts and do what he wants to do in our lives. And surely we're here to magnify him and to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ in every way. Singing has done that, and now the preaching the word of God, I pray God will help us, and you pray for us. Luke 17, verse number 11. Let's stand, please, while we read the word of God. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet and giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. Jesus answered and said, Were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise and go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. I want us to bow our heads, please, and pray. Every head bowed, every eye closed. I want you to think today about the word of God, the things of God, and let God speak to your heart. Maybe those here unsaved, those that are falling afar off, I pray God will speak to your heart this day. Our Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ that is a living Savior. He's not a Buddha. He's a living Savior, and we're thankful that the tomb is empty, that Jesus Christ died but rose from the dead and ascended back unto the Father. Thank you, Lord, for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we thank you, Lord, for every song's been sung and how thankful we are. You don't throw the clay away, but, Lord, you want to help all of us. And I pray today in this service, in this time, may the Holy Spirit take the word of God and speak to hearts. I pray for every person here that is unsaved, that they'll see their need of a Savior and they'll turn to the Lord Jesus. I pray, Lord, for every person that may be falling afar off, that you speak to their heart. And God, help all of us today, some struggling with situations, families and different things they're struggling with. I pray you to help them. And then, Father, I pray the power of God, take the word of God and apply it where he wants to apply it. You said your word did not return void. It would accomplish that wherein that you send it. And so I pray today that you take the word of God and do what you want to with it and help us to preach. I plead the blood of Jesus Christ and thank you for what you do for us. I need you to help us right now in a special way. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. I'm preaching on that subject, where are the 9? And you've heard that preached on, I'm sure, from time to time, and I have preached on it from time to time, but approach it just a little bit differently today. But I pray that God would help us. And I was meditating on this scripture, and I got to looking at something I'm going to try to share with you. I'm not sure that I can get it said, but this is all introduction. And we'll get to those 9 a little bit later, as many of them as we can anyway today. And think about that, but he asked the question, where are the 9? Now, you know the setting. And verse number 11 said he's going through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, probably that area as those two met together. And there was a certain place, a certain town that he went into, a village. God did not tell us what the name of it is. We do not know. They were 10 lepers there. And those 10 lepers, we know at least one of them was Samaritan, and the others probably were Jewish people. And they were there under one common disease they had, and that was leprosy. We know in Scripture that leprosy speaks of sin and used many times as a type and a picture people getting healed, being saved. And that's many times used that way. Jesus, they saw Jesus coming. Look at verse number 12. As he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. Now, in that day, when a man was a leper, anyone that was a leper, they had to stand off away from society, away from people. They could not intermingle, and they had to cover their face and cry, unclean, unclean, so people would know that they were lepers and would not come near to them. They did that because of the fact that they did not want to spread the disease and did not want others to catch it. And so they were separated from. I want you to turn with me back to Leviticus chapter number 14. I just want you to give you this about the cleansing and understand better why Jesus said, go show yourself unto the priest. In Leviticus chapter 14, and we'll start reading at verse number 1. I want you to get this. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, this shall be the law of the leper in the day of his cleansing. He shall be brought unto the priest. And the priest shall go forth out of the camp, and the priest shall look, and behold, if the plague of leprosy be healed in the leper, then shall the priest command to take for him that is to be cleansed two birds, alive and clean, and cedar wood, and scarlet, and hyssop. And the priest shall command that one of the birds shall be killed in an earthen vessel over running water. And as for the living bird, he shall take it, and the cedar wood, and the scarlet, and the hyssop, and shall dip them in the living bird, in the blood of the bird that was killed over the running water. Now there's all kinds of pictures of the Lord Jesus in that, in his death, the blood that was shed, and cleansing, and one bird turned loose, one was killed in bloodshed, picturing death and resurrection. And verse number 7, he shall sprinkle upon him that is to be cleansed from the leprosy 7 times, and shall pronounce him clean, and he shall let the living bird loose into the open field. Now there's more to read in this, but we're going to stop there. I want you to see that the leper had to go to the priest. The priest had to come out where he was, examine him, and then if he found him to be clean of the leprosy, then he was to kill one bird, let the other bird loose, blood sprinkled on him. Then he would pronounce him clean, and ceremoniously he would be clean and could go back out into society and back to his family. Now, it took certain days for that all to transpire and take place, but we'll not take time for all of that this morning. That's not the purpose of my message, but I simply want you to see the fact that the religious part of it that day was that they had to go show themselves to the priest, and they had to be ceremoniously declared clean. Now, in meditating upon this, I saw something. I have been there all the time, but I want you to notice it with me today. Now, these 10 lepers, they cried out for mercy, and they knew they needed mercy. It's what they needed. They didn't deserve anything. They needed mercy. So verse 13, they were far off, and they asked for mercy. They had to cry out loud so he could hear them, and cried for mercy. And when he saw them, let me pause there to say this. If you're here today lost without God, you need to cry for mercy. Somebody said, all I want is justice. No, what you need is mercy. Amen. And there's one lady showed a man her picture and said, this picture don't do me justice. He said, lady, you don't need justice, you need mercy. Amen. One lady looking in the mirror, she went to the preacher and said, I need to confess my sin. He said, what is it? He said, it's pride. And said, I sat for hours looking in the mirror at myself and admiring my beauty. He said, ma'am, you don't need to confess a sin of pride. You need to confess a sin of imagination. She was all messed up on what she was seeing in the mirror. Amen. That's how we are about sin. We don't see it like we ought to see it. And we see things differently than what we need to see it, but somebody else sees it in you. And so here you realize, though they were lepers and they cried for mercy, asked God to help them. Look at verse 14. That's Jesus to cleanse them. Verse 14, and when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass, as they went, they were cleansed. Now, here, you've heard me mention it many times. What a picture it is of that faith of taking God at his word, believing what God said and acting upon it, and then the results coming. And that's how God operates. Is by God created the world by faith. He said, there was no world. He said, let there be, and there was. He said, there was no light. He said, let there be light, and there was light. He said, let there be. And so we today must realize the fact that God operates by faith. It's impossible to please God without faith. He that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligent, or them that believe him. So we must believe that he is, and that he does what he says he'll do if we really believe it. And so he said for him, go show you. Now that was the law of the Jewish people, that and when that leper's cleansed, he had to go to the priest, had to show himself to the priest, and then be declared ceremoniously clean before he could go any farther. And so now Jesus, they still had leprosy. They still were lepers. They had not got close to Jesus. They simply cried for mercy. Jesus told them what to do, and they took him at his word and started toward the priest. And on their way, as they went, they were cleansed. A wonderful picture of faith, just total faith, bare faith of taking God at his word. And so much of the time we fail to do that. Do we not fail that? God says something and we try to qualify it or say something about it, but he just said, go show yourself. So they started on their way and they were cleansed. A beautiful picture of salvation. Now, I'm going to go take this a step further than we usually take it and looking at it. So I know they were cleansed. I know they got healed of leprosy. I know that beyond a shadow of a doubt. I know that sometimes Jesus cleansed people and then saved them, healed them, then saved them. Sometimes he saved them, then healed them. And sometimes he healed them and saved them at the same time. And sometimes it's simply a picture of salvation. And sometimes he's dealing with some other subject matter that he's dealing with in doing the miracles that he did. But here, he's showing faith. They're dealing with faith. Look back in verse 5 and 6. And the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamore tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. And so he said, now if you had any faith, a grain of mustard seed, smaller seed than you, and said, if you had a faith, a grain of mustard seed, you could say, this tree be removed, and it would obey you. And so he's really challenging them about faith. And they said, increase our faith. Now, the Bible said in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so we need to hear the word of God. That's what we're listening to right now. And so they were cleansed. And now verse 15, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, and with a loud voice glorified God. He cried with a voice loud, have mercy on me. And now he's crying with a loud voice. Listen to what he cries. Glorified God. And fell down on his face at his feet. Glorified God. And fell down on his face at his feet. He just said, God. Now at the feet of Jesus, he is God. And fell at his feet, recognizing that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. He glorified him, fell down on his face at his feet, giving thanks, and he was a Samaritan. A Samaritan was a half Jew. The Jewish people despised them, had no fellowship with them, and they were set aside, and they wouldn't commune together because they had intermingled with the Gentiles. And so they considered them unclean. They couldn't go in and worship with the Jews. They couldn't do the things that the Jews went. They were separated from them. And notice Jesus said to all 10 of them, go show yourself to the priest. I'm not sure what that Samaritan was thinking as he was walking along with the rest of them going down. I'm not even sure he was walking with the same group. He may have been falling along behind them because he was a Samaritan. He may have been intermingled with them because they all had leprosy and they all realized they was in a mess and needed help. I do not know. I do know what the Bible says about the Samaritans and the Jewish people and how they felt and how they were separated one from another and all of that. But I know one thing, that the only one that came back was a Samaritan. The others didn't come back. They kept on going to the priest. They were going to go through their ceremoniously religious things they were supposed to do, which was right thing to do. And so they were going to do that. And they felt like that was necessary. Jesus had told them to go do that. So they started on their way. They were healed. But this one man, this one Samaritan, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back and went back to Jesus, bowing unto God, glorifying God, giving him praise and thanks, and doing all that he knew to do to give his thanks unto him. Now notice verse 17. And Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? Now, he's asking the question. Then he asked another question. Where are the 9? But now something caught my attention real close here in verse 18 and 19. There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger. These Jewish people that had the law given to them, had the Old Testament given to them, that were so familiar with and knew things and had been taught to glorify God, yet they did not turn back to give God glory. They kept going. Now notice verse 19. And here's what really caught my attention. Now I'm coming back to verse 17. Here's where my message I'm going to try to draw from. But verse 19 caught my attention real closely. And he said unto him, this is Jesus speaking, Jesus said, arise, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. W-H-O-L-E, completely, totally. I believe personally, now you theologians that are deep in everything may be able to show some light on this, but I personally believe that this literally happened and that there were 10 lepers and all 10 of them got cleansed, all of them got healed. But I believe one of them really got saved. One of them really got right with God. Did you notice that stranger when he got back to God, when he got back to Jesus? Jesus did not say, now you come back and give me thanks, you're blessed. I appreciate what you've done. But now you need to get on down there to the priest and let him do through what he's going to do and help you and get you ceremoniously clean so you can go back out. He didn't say anything now about him going to the priest. He told all 10 of them go to the priest. But then when this one, they acted on faith concerning their healing. They were doing what God said to do as far as being healed. But the one, he wanted a personal encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe there are folk that they've heard about Jesus. I've seen people sick and say, if Jesus will heal me, I'll come to church and I'll tithe. I'll do this, I'll do that. And then God helped them and you couldn't find them with the FBI tracking them. Amen. And they got better. They got through their situation. I've seen people in situations sit in my office. I'm thinking somebody right now, don't want to go into that, but I sit in my office and with tears in their eyes tell me how bad it was, how much they wanted to serve God, how much they wanted their family in this church, how they wanted to raise their families here and hear the gospel and hear the truth. And I've not seen them in months and months, and they hadn't been around. Their situation changed, things got better, and as far as physical and out in this world's concerned, and they got what they wanted, and then they went on their merry way. I've heard since then they're doing some things that are really bad, but that be as it may, I don't know for sure, so that'd be hearsay. But I'm telling you right now that we need to understand there's a difference in just having God do something for you. The unsaved, God does something for them or they die and go to hell right now. If God wasn't merciful to unsaved, they'd just drop over right now, the heart attack, and be gone, die, and be in hell. But God's been merciful, and God's been kind, and God helped you. But just because God has helped you through something doesn't mean you're saved. But here, this one man, he's interested in that personal touch, that personal thanksgiving, that personal relationship and fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he comes back and he thanks God for his healing, but he's thinking who Jesus really is. He wanted to bow at his feet. He wanted to have that closeness unto him, that fellowship with him. I'm not saying that these others didn't get saved. I think it's a picture of being saved. I know they got healed. But I know this man, this one man, he had an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what's really important, amen, is having an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. Have you heard about him? And they'd heard that he could heal them. They had heard that he's making blinded eyes see. They had heard he fed the multitude. They had heard that he was doing miracles. And so they saw him coming. And they came out and cried, "Have mercy on us." And they called him Master. "Have mercy on us." But this man came back and said he bowed at the feet of God. He realized who Jesus was. He bowed and glorified God and gave thanks and had fellowship with Jesus. And Jesus said, "Now go thy way." And he didn't say go to the priest. "Go thy way. Thy faith have made thee whole." He meant completely, totally whole. Not just physically, but spiritually. In every way, God had healed him and saved him and birthed him. And now he doesn't need to go by the priest down here on this earth. He'd been to the high priest. He'd been to the one that could really help him. He'd been the one that could really save him. He'd been the one that could really do something for him. I say hallelujah for the one that can really help you. I'm glad for Jesus. Amen. Thank God for preachers. Thank God for churches. Thank God for all that. But preachers can't save you. Churches can't save you. It's an encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not enough to know about him. You need to know him. It's not enough to hear he can do something. It's enough to, you need to know that he's done something in your heart. And then never do it until you step by faith and believe it. But after you believe it and you really believe not only just for one little thing, but you want him to save you and believe him for that, you're going to come to him and you're going to have fellowship with him and have that communion with him. And I say, hallelujah, amen. I'm just digging a little bit in that, scratching the surface of it. I'm sure there's more in there to get out of that, but I'm saying to you, thank God I'm glad I found him. I'm glad I found him going back to the Savior, because it helped me to understand that God sometimes helps people, but they don't go all the way and let God save them. They just got a little help somewhere along the way, and God helps everybody. I'm saying that again because some people have the idea only God only helps to save people. God's angry every day with the wicked. God wants them to be saved. God's not pleased with them. But God helps them. If he didn't help them, they'd die and go to hell. They'd be without Jesus. They are without Jesus, but they wouldn't have any hope. They wouldn't have any help at all. They'd be gone. God's merciful. Unsaved people go to the doctor and get medicine, get better. Amen. They get operated on and get sewed up and they get healed up. And any healing is divine healing. God does it. And so they've seen God do things. And they've watched God do things like he's nine. And so they've seen that. Now remember, we're talking about going back what the disciples said, increase our faith. Increase our faith. Then later on they meet the 10 lepers. 10 lepers get healed as they go. One man comes back. They're aware of all of this. And realize that he got all that he was looking for in Christ Jesus. Now, just for a few minutes, I'm going to try to give you just a few things. I can't get nine of them in. If I get three or four, I'll be doing good. I've tried to give you this introduction. I kind of like the introduction myself. Amen. God said something to me in the introduction. Amen. I like that introduction because I like that fellowship with Jesus. I like that going further with him. Amen. I like coming back and thanking him. How long has it been since you just thanked God for saving you? How long has it been since you just bowed somewhere and said, "Jesus, I love you for saving me. I thank you for going to Calvary. I thank you for the blood that was shed for my sin. I give you praise and glory. Just let me come to the house of God." Hallelujah, Brother Bob. I'm glad it's real. Amen. I'm glad. I'm thankful for people that got saved, know they're saved, and realize what God did for them, and just come back to God and say, God, I love you. I want you to help me, and give him all the glory and praise. He's worthy of all the glory and praise. Amen. Amen. And we need to understand that. And I'm thinking about the banquet they had the other night up at Mountain View. God gave me the privilege to go up there with them Friday night, but their theme was about God's wonderful world, and their principal, Brother Moore, got up, and he was talking about that wonderful world and why we're here, all the creation that God did, and man was put here as a crowning touch of his creation, and man was put here to be over the creation, to be take charge and taken care of, though all around us, and we have that authority given to us from God. But man's main purpose is to glorify God, to give God glory. Amen. Thank God for all the beauty of the world. Thank God for all he's done out here for it, and let's us see and enjoy. But our main purpose is to worship God and to give him glory. And if we don't do that, we've missed why God put us here. Amen. And glorifying God for saving us, what better thing could you glorify God for than for saving you and putting you here in this earth? Well, let's get to the nine. I've been preaching on this other. I want to get to those nine and at least talk about the first one. Number one, I want to think about just God healed and went down to the priest, but got disinterested in Jesus back there, the one that told him what to do, one that did the healing. He got disinterested in him. Why? I don't know. It might have been because of family. They were separated from their families. They couldn't get with their families because they had to be separated from. And man got so wrapped up in family matters, thinking, well, I need to get home. I need to see them because I hadn't seen them in a long time. So I need to get there. I want you to turn back with me in Luke chapter 14. Luke chapter 14, verse number 16. Hang with me now. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say unto them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one excuse began to make excuse. And one said, I bought a piece of ground there. And notice what he said, I pray thee have me excused. Another said he bought five yoke of oxen. And he said, I pray thee have me excused. Verse number 20. Another said, I married a wife, therefore I cannot come. He didn't pray or nothing else. He just said, I can't come. I know that praying thee as saying it was asking them, but I couldn't help but play on those words there just for a minute. Amen. But they were saying, we can't come. We've got this to do, that to do, and we can't come. This said, I married a wife and I can't come. And this is, I'm getting disinterested about what Jesus has really done for them because they're wrapped up in their family or they're wrapped up in something else that's going on. But talking about family, I want you to look at verse number 26 of chapter 14. Verse 26. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brother and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. He said if he don't. That word hate there is used in comparison too. As you compare the love and hate, he said it all be like hate compared to your love for Jesus. Now that's saying a whole lot. Yeah, we love our family, we love our wives, our children, we love our grandchildren, we love our brothers and sisters, we love all these. He said that love ought to be like hate compared to your love for Jesus. That's saying a mouthful and don't have time to elaborate a whole lot on that, simply to say some folk, God done something for them. They got this interest about Jesus Christ, left him out. He don't have a place in their life, and so they go on their merry way and doing their thing. And so I say to today, I don't know where you are. I don't know exactly how your fellowship is with the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know how close you are to him. I don't know how much fellowship you're having with him. But I can tell you this. Sometimes folks get too disinterested and too wrapped up in everything else around them and what's going on instead of what they ought to be wrapped up in, Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen. They need him. Then some folk, they're just displeased. They get out of sorts. Look back in chapter 15 and verse 28. By the way, that whole chapter 15, we know about the lost sheep, the lost coin, the prodigal son. and we hear much about them, but what the story really, the whole chapter is really pointing to is the Pharisees and scribes, and he's going to that elder brother. That elder brother, he wouldn't come in. Now notice what he said in verse 28. And he was angry and would not go in. Therefore came his father out and treated him. What he was angry about was the younger brother had got his share of the inheritance and went out and wasted it. And then he came back home. The father's excited. And the father didn't throw the clay away. The father didn't kick him out and say, "You sorry, low down thing." The father was glad to see him. He had the fatty calf ready, had the robe ready, had the ring ready, had the shoes ready. He was looking for his son to come home. And when he got there, he's excited about it and saying, "Hallelujah, he's home." But the elder brother, he pouted about it. And he got upset about it, and he wouldn't even go in and rejoice about it. He didn't think it was even worth going to praise him about. I say hallelujah for anybody who gets right with God. I say praise the Lord. You're sitting here this morning and your heart's not right, but you really hunger for something. Hey, something down inside that you're hungering for. I want you to know Jesus can meet that hunger. And he can help you, and you can leave here today saying, "I'm glad I got right with God. I'm glad I let God help me. I'm glad. I know the devil's trying to fight everything he can." This morning I'm saying, the devil's trying to take it away. He wants to take it and steal it away from your mind and your heart. But I'm trying to tell you that Jesus wants to help you and will help you if you'll let him help you. He's your help. You need that. And so some are disinterested in what things of God. Hey, they don't have the joy they ought to have. Maybe they've never been saved. Maybe God done something but didn't save them. Maybe they never had that encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then they get upset and they're in the church, but they're not really in the church. They don't get involved in anything. They don't want fellowship. They don't want to have any interaction with anybody. And so there's I've been to church. I've heard the preacher. I heard the singing, but I don't want to have any interaction with anything. I don't want to be involved in anything. I say to you, God help us, and we'll get interested in what God is doing around the house of God and other people's. Amen. I'm glad people need encouragement. They need words from those that know God and love God. They need some help. And so we need that. Then some's in dangerous places. They're sitting in the window like Eutychus in chapter 20 of the book of Acts. And he sat down there and then went to sleep. Then he fell out and they thought he was dead. I say to you, there's some people like that. It's like those eight disciples sat down just inside the gate when Jesus went to pray. And they got inside, but they sat down and didn't go any further. And so there they were, and they didn't really get what they needed because Jesus bound back in there praying. And even the three he took further with him, they went to sleep. And so the eight certainly wasn't getting it. It's close enough where they got in, but they're close enough to the world to reach out. And that's how some people are living their lives. They're living it right on the edge. They want to see how close a world they can get and still not be under judgment of God. They want to get just real close to the world and have enough of God to satisfy their conscience. And I say today, if that's where you are, you're in a dangerous place. You tackle sitting down that window, he didn't fall in, he fell out. And they had to go get him back in. I say to you, it's a dangerous place to get, amen. And may God help us, get in. I mean, get all the way in. Holler amen. Wave your hand. Get glory in your soul. Let God do something for you. Let God help you. And really get involved in what God's doing. And don't be like a nine just went on down and went through the ceremony, went through all the... I'm sure they went on down there and they went through all they had to go through. I'm sure they felt good about themselves when they got through and all that. But Jesus back there, he's saying, "Where are the nine? Where are the nine?" And I'm trying to ask you today, where are the nine? Where are they giving God glory? Where are they? I come back and praise his name and say yes to him. They're in dangerous places. Some's disinterested. Some's discouraged. I want you to look with me in 1 Kings chapter 19. Some's under that juniper tree with Elijah. They're discouraged. There's a lot of things today that discourage us. There's people that discourage us. There's situations that discourage us. There's things happen all around us that discourage us. But you don't have to stay there. God sends help. Look in chapter 19 of 1 Kings. Now Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done, how he'd slain the prophets of Baal and all that. And Jezebel sent a messenger unto Elijah, saying, so let the gods do to me and more also if I make not thy life as the life of one of them by tomorrow about this time. And when he saw that, he arose and went for his life. Now, here's a man that had just been on the mountain with God, had just prayed down fire out of heaven, 450 prophets of Baal against him, and had all, and there he was with bravery and glory in his soul and praying to God, pouring water on the altar. I mean, really magnifying the Lord God of heaven. And fire fell down, and he had the victory. And then one woman named Jezebel gets after him, and he runs, and he hides. Do you know what? You and I, you said, boy, he really messed up, didn't he? You and I are just as bad. We're just bad. There'll be good things happen. There'll be good things take place. And then we get depressed and discouraged, down and out, and bury our head and pout. Amen. And feel sorry for ourselves. Throw a pity party. You ever throw a pity party for yourself? Some of you are doing it right now. How poor you are. Amen. We throw pity parties. We feel sorry for ourselves. And we getting down. We getting the dumps and all that. Get discouraged. But I'm glad God came by where Elijah was and helped him. I say to you, if you ever really have an encounter with the Lord Jesus and let God really help you and really get in tune with heaven, God will come by and he'll help you in those times if you'll let him help you. Where are the nine? Where are those who give God glory? Some discouraged, some just down and out and away from God. Some need some help today. I'm glad God's in the helping business and he's here to help you. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, I pray the Holy Ghost of God do a work now. And Lord, I thank you for the word of God. I thank you for the goodness of the word. I thank you for your presence. I thank you, God, for what you do. I pray in Jesus' name that the power of the Holy Ghost would do a work. I know the devil does not like thy word. He fights every word of it. I pray in Jesus' name you rebuke the devil, the powers of evil. Lord, there's some folk here today that really need some help. There's some here today that they realize the fact that they're in a place where they need to come to Jesus. They really need to give God glory. They really need to let you help them. Some need to step by faith and believe that you'll save them. Others need to come and say, I've been out of the will of God. I need to give God glory and praise. There's some here today that they'd have to say, I need some help in some other matters of my life. Lord, you know where we all are. You know exactly what we need. I pray this Sunday morning, may the power of the Holy Spirit speak to hearts, deal with lives, have your way, magnify yourself, get glory. And Father, I plead Jesus, and I plead the blood, confess the devil defeated in Jesus' precious name. Amen.